coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
My wife has now 80 surgeries, both legs amputated, $10 million, 12 hospitals, 7 insurance companies, gosh, close to 100 doctors now. God didn't put me in this to fix this with Gracie, but he put me here to be a steward of it.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Soon to celebrate our 74th anniversary as a broadcast ministry. By God's amazing grace, welcome to this Wednesday edition of Compassion Radio. Radio for the sake of others. Thank you for tuning in today, friend. We have a special treat to share with you both today and tomorrow as Bram Floria and Cher Nelson were able to sit down with a longtime friend recently as they recorded live from the outskirts of the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, also known as the NRB. Lots of ground to cover today, so let's get it over to Bram to make introductions.
Friends, here on Compassion Radio today, a friend that we need to know better because he's dealing with the kind of issues that every Christian family is going to face sometime in their life. He's helping them face the hardest things of all. That's when you deal with the impossible. Peter Rosenberger, welcome to Compassion Radio.
You know, it's a treat to be here, and I am grateful that y'all are spotlighting this issue of taking care of sick, disabled, chronically ill, loved ones, mentally impaired loved ones. The caregiver is often overlooked and rarely engaged in a healthy way, and this is what I'm on a mission to do, so thank you all.
And this is a departure for us from our normal programming because we focus on issues of the church and the kingdom around the world, but our name is Compassion, and there's a reason why that compassion is in our name. It's because we've taken care of and reached out to those who were the most downtrodden, the most overworked, the most beleaguered people on the planet. The more you and I have talked over the past couple years, the more I'm reminded that some of the people that are facing the toughest challenges, especially people of faith, are the ones that have a long-term care issue in their own homes.
Well, it is kingdom business. Kingdom business implies we have a king, and our king was very clear when he said, sick, naked, hungry, prison. That's what he's looking for, or some subset of those that fit into that category, and he's pretty serious about it. He detailed it very clearly of what he's looking for out of his people. And caring for the sick and those who care for them is all part of that package, and it is kingdom business. And every one of us are going to deal with this. But you know what? Jesus himself, somebody asked me once, what would Jesus do as a caregiver? And I said, well, I don't know what he would do, but let me tell you what he did do. And while on the cross, he delegated care of his mother to John. And I thought, you know, if Jesus can delegate, so can I, you know. And he stayed on mission for what he was about and what he was doing, but he also recognized the valid needs of his mother in that society who needed to have somebody care for her. And I don't know that she was disabled, but she was certainly vulnerable. And that's what we're looking at, is are the vulnerable ones among us being cared for? And, you know, I heard a great quote the other day, the church and a family moves at the speed of its slowest member.
We find that in the hallway every day.
We you know, we get that. I mean, those of us who have slow-moving members, we get that. And when we chafe against that, all it does is create more friction and illuminate stuff in us that needs to be dealt with. Why are we chafing against this? Why is this bothering me that somebody's moving so slow? And I do this all the time with my wife, who's a double amputee. You know, come on, you know. Sometimes I'm wondering, is this really disability or is this gender? But we don't have to go there. But it's one of those things when I find myself getting impatient and I realize, you know what? I need to move at the speed of the slowest member of my family. She is at that speed. And it's not a curse to do so.
No.
It's an opportunity then to see Christ in it. I think that was driven home one time for me when I was helping her comb her hair after a shower and helped her get her shower. And I realized, okay, it was frustrating because I mean, I didn't study cosmetology in music school. I mean, you know, I don't know how to do that. I don't do hair very well. And you can just hear her kind of flinching because I'm pulling it the wrong way. And I'm getting frustrated because my hair is easy to comb. I get out, I just run my hands through it, I go. But hers, it takes a lot of time and work. And I thought, how does Jesus minister to his wounded bride? Where does that come? How am I learning something about Christ as I'm doing this? That's when it slows me down and realize, okay, I really don't have anywhere else to be. This is where I need to be because this is where I get an opportunity to see Christ in a different way. I would love to say I'm sitting on some kind of pinnacle dispensing wisdom like this, but I'm not. I'm in the trenches doing it every day and have to remind myself of these things. I have caregiver amnesia, and everything I learned yesterday I forget and I have to do it again. I have gospel amnesia. You know, Paul felt the same way. You know, I do what I don't want to do. I don't want to do what I do. And we're all like this. And caregiving doesn't have a unique set of problems, but it illuminates in an intense way the problems we all face of impatience, demandingness, frustration, fear, all the things that well up in a selfishness. Caregiving, it's like miracle growth for character defects. I mean, so if it's there, it's just going to amplify it.
Yeah. And any stress is like that.
It is. Stressors are like, but when you're dealing with a caregiving situation, usually it's relentless stress.
Yes.
You don't really kind of get a break from it. It just keeps coming in waves. And even if you're able to detach from it for an hour or two or through, it's always heavy on your mind because you're thinking, okay, what am I going to do 10 years from now? When, you know, how much longer is our money going to last? Or how much longer is my health going to last? And you start thinking that way, and that's an unhealthy place to live. And Jesus, throughout all of Scripture, it says, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, go out and collect manna just for today. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. And yet, it's a hard thing to do. It is a very hard thing to do.
Now, our listeners for the past couple of years have walked through with us the loss of Norm Nelson. For them, he's a foundational member of their spiritual mentor family. I mean, Norm had a place in so many families as part of our Compassion Radio family that is a great loss for many of our listeners. And they're getting used to my voice now in the new generation. But they've also walked through with prayer and been part of the team for Cher. And Cher's with us here today on this program. Mm-hmm. It's been a great and incredible comfort to us as a family to know that there are people that have loved us through this time and are aware of the struggles that have been happening within our family and how hard it is to release somebody that you love so much, like Norm was for us. So we get it. We understand that these longer goodbyes, when you're doing a long-term care situation, you go through all different kinds of grief and stages of grief before the person's even gone.
You don't get to rip the Band-Aid off in one fell swoop. It's a constant state of grieving that you find yourself in day after day. And I, if I may be so bold, I was watching some of you work through some of this online on Facebook, Cher. I could just tell as you were trying to wrap your mind and your arms around something that was just too big. It was just too big. And you struggle with these things. And then you struggle with, where is God in this? And how do I trust him with this? How do I thought I had a handle on trusting God until he dumped this in my lap, you know, and I get that. But I think that's the opportunity we have as believers, to come up alongside each other and bear one another's burdens. But what does that look like? It doesn't look like just coming up and saying, brother, I'm going to pray for you. Mm-hmm. You know, it really looks like sometimes just silently standing with you. And if you look at Job chapter 2, verse 13, is one of my favorite verses in Job, because they sat there silent for 7 days.
But they were there.
I know Christians who can't be silent for 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, they've just got to somehow bloviate on their opinion on why God's allowing this. And we don't know. And so we miss the opportunity to just stand there and silently grieve, very much like Jesus did at Lazarus' tomb. He took a moment to grieve. He knew he was going to raise him from the dead, and yet he still took a moment to grieve. That's a puzzling kind of moment. Why are you grieving over something that you know you're getting ready to fix like this? And obviously there's something about the grieving process of suffering and death that even our Savior pauses to respect.
I think that was his humanity coming out. He was God, he was man, but he had never gone through that experience of someone he loved being dead. Even though he knew that there was life after death, he as a man although he was God, was experiencing what we all experience. Now, it says he has experienced everything in like manner that we have, so he knows exactly what we're going through. But had he not had that experience of his great friend dying and seeing what it caused, the grief that it caused to the people around him, and he felt as a man what losing, although I don't like the word losing someone, we don't lose them, we just don't have them for a while.
I always suspected, too, that he's imagining, looking forward to his own death. He knows it's coming. And imagine what his friends will have to go through when he's gone. And the loss you sense of somebody else, the tenderness that comes into you by being compassionate for somebody else who suffers, you become compassionate to your own suffering, too.
But as God, you don't experience that the same way as you do as a man. Yeah. And that was his
first... I do give him great credit for being more than the average man, for sure.
Right, but...
Well, but he shelved his deity to experience... I mean, there's two times when Jesus he marveled at something. And I thought, well, why are you marveling? You're Jesus. You know these things. But as a pastor friend of mine explained, he said, no, he shelved his deity so that he's not going to go around just being omniscient and omnipotent all the time. That's the Spirit gave him for that moment. But he was willing to be surprised by the woman who crawled to touch him. He was willing to be surprised by the Roman centurion with his faith. And then he was willing to grieve at Lazarus too.
Okay, Peter, I see the parallel immediately in the work that you're talking about doing as a caregiver. That in Jesus, we deeply admire and worship him for setting aside, as you say, his divinity and his right, his power, to become powerless. There's not a caregiver I know that hasn't set aside their rights to serve and become powerless in order to care for the person they love.
That's about as good of an example of saying this as I've ever heard, because I think that's what we do. And somebody asked me one time, I said, what's the most difficult thing you face as a caregiver? Now, you got to remember, my wife is now 80 surgeries, both legs amputated, $10 million, 12 hospitals, 7 insurance companies, gosh, close to 100 doctors now. And the worst thing the most challenging thing for me is knowing what is mine and what is not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that I tend to overreach too much and try to take on things that are just way beyond my abilities. And I have to go back to what I own, what I did, what I can do, my thoughts, words, and deeds, and trust that God didn't put me in this to fix this with Gracie, but he put me here to be a steward of it. And sometimes I hit the mark, and more often than not, I'm falling quite short.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria and Cher Nelson and very special guest Peter Rosenberger. And keep in mind, if you want to catch this program again or share it with a friend, head on over to CompassionRadio.com and click to listen to the podcast. It's just as easy as that. And while you're there, please consider a special gift as we continue in our anniversary month here at Compassion Radio. We're going to hit number 74 in just a few weeks. Let's get back now to the program.
And I think this whole journey for me is basically a form of sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it is. Justification is a fixed point in time. That was at the cross. When we're glorified, that'll be a fixed point in time when we arrive in his presence. But sanctification is a process thing, and there's nothing like walking through suffering on this level to chisel away bad theology, root out things in your life that are just not cool. And I hate it. I still see. I deal with today. I mean, every day is a new opportunity for me to make amends, you know, and it's just... I was walking in here to this facility today as I knew that we would be talking about my show in front of audience and so forth. And I said, you know, I was just kind of, as I do often, I just kind of talk to God in conversation tones. I don't speak in King James. I just kind of, you know, I just talk to him like in conversations. I said, you know, what were you thinking to pick me for this kind of work? And just deep in my spirit, I just heard this phrase. Well, if I thought you were worthy of it, you know, you wouldn't be the right guy for it. It's not about you. It's about me. And I thought, okay, I get that. Because if he picks imperfect people and he uses sin sinlessly to accomplish something extraordinary, and more often than not, that's done through some type of suffering. And the way you all now will run this radio program is going to be reflective of the tears that you shed with Norm. And the way that people respond to this will also be the way they have grieved with you in this process around the world.
And the most compassionate people that we work with that have cared for us and have given faithfully through the time of transition into my ministry here were the ones that understood it, because they have either been a caregiver, have gone through a period of grieving themselves. God amped up their compassion gene during those times, and they stood faithfully with us through this. Because we are radio for the sake of others, we do deal with the suffering of others frequently. We don't camp out in the suffering so much as making a way for hope while we're suffering. But we take very seriously the spiritual authority that comes with those who have stepped aside or stepped out of their authority to be their own person, have stepped into the suffering of another, and have learned to discover Jesus in that act.
You know, there was a segment of my life where I dealt with young people. Those young people now are in the generation where they're taking care of their parents,
yes.
And a great many of them are now caregivers. It's really interesting to see the difference between those who are so burdened and frustrated and torn apart by it, and those who are at peace and almost grateful to God for the opportunity of being able to deal with their parents in their end-of-life struggles. I think I've been able to help a lot of them think back to what their parents invested in them when they were little children. How many hours, how many conflicts, how many diapers, how many... They put in an awful lot of time and care for us. Now, is it too much for us to give that back, doing many of those same things, although
Literally. And it's not just about payback.
No.
But we have to.
But
if we have to start somewhere, we'll start with that.
It's the love that was given to them that we can now return to them in the same way. Now, we were very fortunate with Norm. The worst of it all was just maybe 3 years and, you know, in increasing measures during those 3 years. But, you know, people like Peter have been at this for years and years. And
30 years now for you, right,
and
Peter?
People with children that are born with real difficulties that have to be taken care of constantly. I mean, that's a lifetime commitment. I know from my experience that it was an honor, it was a privilege. It was scary for a lot of the time before we knew what was going on with Norm. It was very troubling because we just didn't know how to deal with it. But once I understood it, it was an honor. But, and I've said this on the air before, in all of the time, the last 18 months that he was continually hospitalized from one kind of a hospital to another, to rest homes, to nursing homes, to whatever, one person came to visit us. One person out of all of the people that we knew, out of all of the people whose lives Norm touched, I asked for two other people to come, and they did at my request, but only one person came.
Who noticed first and made the initiative?
Yes, to even minister to me if Norm was not able to be ministered to at that time, although who knows what he knew at various times. Just the compassion of saying, I just want you to know, I think about what you're going through. I haven't forgotten you now that you're not here around me anymore. That compassion would have meant the world to me.
I think a lot of people don't know what to say.
Yeah,
and in that ignorance, they say nothing. So one of the things I started doing was giving non-caregivers some vocabulary of what help looks like to a caregiver. I do two things. I help caregivers understand what help is for themselves, and then infuse them with the courage to ask for that help and receive it. It's very difficult to do that.
And be gracious in the receiving.
And be gracious in the receiving, and trust that God, even though the gift, the offer of help may not be very great, it may be, you know, it may mess it up, and it may not be exactly what they want, but it's okay to trust that God is working in that. But then also talk to non-caregivers and help them understand the reality of what this person's going through, and then infuse them with the drive and the courage to ask, to offer that help. And so the first thing I ask people to do is to go, when you go to a caregiver, first off, you be very gentle. You speak gently and quietly because their nerves are already frayed. Don't go in there and start prophesying over them and and, you know,
praying the big prayer.
Yeah, you know, just
or trying to cheer them up
and yell and scream at them, and you know, and everything else. Just to all my Pentecostal brethren and sister, and you know, just slow down. Just be real quiet, and go in there and just say, look, very quietly, I see you. I see you, and I see the magnitude of what you carry, and I hurt for you. If you could do nothing else but just let them know that they're seen, and what they're doing is seen, that is when the tears will start coming, and it gives you an opportunity just to be with them. Just be. I was talking to a group of Stephen ministers one time, and I said, the mantra I have with Stephen ministers, or anybody that wants to do this, is suit up. Put on the righteousness of Christ. Nothing's going to get on it. People are worried it's going to get on me if it's some messy stuff. It's not going to get on you. It's just put on the righteousness of Christ. Show up. Ministry of presence. Mm-hmm. Be there, yes. And shut up. Suit up, show up, and shut up.
The ministry of shut up.
You don't have to say anything. Your presence will say enough.
That you cared enough to just show up.
Be with them. Stand with them. You know, Jesus, couldn't you guys stay awake with me for just an hour? And that's the kind of thing that means something to people.
I do want to draw a contrast between the emphasis right now of silence is not spiritual, which is an important issue happening right now, speaking up for those who have been assaulted in silence for years and have had no voice. This is not what compassionate care is right now. In fact, the ministry of silence is one of the bravest things you can do sometimes when you don't know what to say, but you want to be with somebody in their suffering.
You're right. This is not a speaking up on behalf of people who have been wronged and it's been covered up. This is speaking just by your presence to people who feel so alone and so isolated and letting them know that they're not. And
this goes right to St. Francis Assisi's old axiom of, you know, preach everywhere, all times, and if necessary, use words.
And those are things that are important to remember, that we don't have to go in there and work out our doctrine on people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't carry around a copy of the Westminster Confession of Faith every time I meet a caregiver. I mean, you know, I don't have to. As great as that is, a fabulous piece of doctrine, but that's not going to really help somebody who's watching somebody go into a seizure, or watching somebody groaning in pain, or watching somebody who has dementia staring out of the window and listlessly drooling somewhere. Or cussing them out because their brain is just firing off wrong, and so they're saying hateful and hurtful things. That's not helpful at that point. Don't go in there and say God is sovereign. We know He's sovereign, but you know, think about this: how comforting that must have been to Uriah's parents,
mm-hmm,
when somebody said God is sovereign to them. You know, their son was murdered by the king, and their daughter-in-law stolen by the king. Don't go in there and preach the 5 points of Calvinism to people who are so raw that they are just coming unglued. You can go in there and just sit quietly with them and maybe give them a glass of cool water. Maybe just be.
And that wraps up part one of Bram and Cher's conversation with Peter Rosenberger here on Compassion Radio. And like you, I certainly look forward to part two, which will air tomorrow. Don't miss it. Friends, here at Compassion Radio, we certainly do thank the Lord for you, especially those who support this ministry have again proven themselves faithful. It's a wonderful thing, for it's not only an act of faith in supporting this ministry, but we here live by faith. Here's one last important word from Bram Floria.
In just a few more days, we'll begin our 75th year of ministry, which, when you think of it, is an astounding achievement in broadcasting. It's also a testament to the generations of faithful partnership that has truly changed the world. In the days and weeks ahead, we'll be sharing some incredible new projects and initiatives that are going to have a profound and lasting effect on the body of Christ around the world. What is in the works is going to seriously amaze some of our most loyal supporters and inspire a whole new level of compassionate action and ministry. All of these things are directly related to the faithful support of partners, and that means you. Would you consider a special anniversary gift to the Lord for the work of Compassion Radio this month, even today? We have a truly unique mandate, you know this, to connect you with the work and witness of the worldwide kingdom of God. We bring you kingdom news that can transform your life, but we can only get those stories and bring them to you if you send us. Thank you for remembering us today with your special gifts and offerings. They are essential to our current work and to the future of Compassion Radio. Please give as generously as you can, and please do it today. And I can say with confidence of years witnessing this myself, God is truly pleased when we reach out and reach deep. God bless you, friends.
For your gift this month, we'd love to send you the first part of a new companion study to an upcoming series on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's available in PDF format by email or printed and mailed. The full study will be available this spring. Ask for your Section 1 today by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail, contact us at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And, of course, you can find us online safe and secure at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram, Cher, and the entire Compassion Radio team, have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.